Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In the concluding message of the Beneath the Surface series, Pastor Ed Young dives into the deep truths about temptation in his sermon titled, Look at the Hook. Through this discourse, we confront the cunning bait and deceptive tactics of the devil. Yet, Pastor Ed emphasizes God's guidance and divine strategies that lead to ultimate victory. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Look at the Hook. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Pretend that you are this great white shark. And you're swimming, having a great day, in the Atlantic Ocean. You're a great white shark. All you think about is eating and making little great white sharks. Something gets your attention. Some blood in the water, some fish oil, and you make a U-turn and see something you normally don't see. You see a big chunk of sashimi. And you're thinking to yourself, I never see something like that. I mean, all I do is chase down dolphins and seals, and I'll eat a human being now and then. This is too good to be true. So you decide, because you're a great white shark, to eat the sashimi. You eat it, and you are just swimming off, having a great time. You feel a little kind of resistance, but after all, you're one of the strongest fish in the ocean. That just kind of happens. Maybe you have a pull muscle or something, and then your mouth feels weird. You feel and experience some resistance, thrashing and splashing, and you find yourself pulling a little boat around the ocean, finally tiring out. You've been caught. Well, I just described to you what it's like to be reeled in. But I also described to you what it's like to be reeled in by the enemy. I described to you the process that everyone deals with, temptation. Temptation. Temptation is a process followed by an event, and then an event followed by a process. Every single person hearing my voice deals with temptation. It's inevitable. We're going to be tempted. Before I continue with this talk, I'm going to give you the upside of temptation. This is not going to be like a depressing message. This is going to be a message that should give all of us hope and strength and confidence. But I want you to think about this process, because the book of James, in fact, the half-brother of Jesus wrote the book of James, is a treatise on temptation. And James says that we are enticed. That's the word he uses, enticed. In the Greek, it's exelkamenos. It means to bait a fish. It means to lure a fish out of cover. It means to capture something. You might be going, well, I just thought you were using something that happened in your life and trying to relate it to Scripture. No, no, no. Scripture says temptation, in a nutshell, is luring a fish, baiting a fish, capturing a fish. And that, my friend, is what the enemy wants to do in your life and mine. When you see the word temptation in the book of James, there are two types of temptation, and it's critical that we differentiate between the two. The first type would be a trial or a testing allowed by God. His purpose is to induce strength and victory. It's allowed by him, sometimes caused by him. So James says, when those situations happen, we should be joyful. I'll talk about that in a second. The other definition, the other type of temptation used in this text, comes from our fallenness, our sin nature. It can be caused by the ultimate angler, the devil, and that is an inducement for evil. It's to mess us around, to keep us from being the kind of people that God desires. So do you understand what I'm talking about? There are two different types. There's the trials and the testings allowed by God for our good. Then you have the temptation from our sin nature and from the enemy that's for our bad, is for us missing the mark. Those are the differences. James comes along and says in James chapter 1, verse 13, when tempted, again, it's going to happen, right? No one should say, God is tempting me. Don't tag your temptation on God. The Bible says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. There is no bait the devil can dangle in front of God. He is complete. He is good. There's not a scintilla of weakness in his character. And how many times, I mean, have I blamed other people and even God for my temptation? You probably haven't. You remember in the garden, Adam, he was caught red-handed. What did he do? He blamed his wife. That's easy, isn't it, guys? It's her fault. Her issues. And then Adam pulled out the big guns. God, it's you. You're the one who gave me this woman. Three ways we handle temptation. Number one, some are like, temptation? I don't feel any temptation. You're going, you're moving with the enemy. You're trafficking with the devil. You just don't feel it. You're living like an animal. Have you ever realized that so many people in our world today live like animals just for self-gratification? Some people don't feel any temptation. Now, when you become a believer, temptation will be ratcheted up, but here's the good news. You'll have the horsepower of the Holy Spirit that can dominate that. Other people here deal with temptation by gritting their teeth, pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, listening to a podcast by Jocko or David Goggins. I can't have the willpower. I can't have the strength to overcome it myself. No. No, you can't. Others here, those here who are followers of Christ, you're tapping into, again, the horsepower of the Holy Spirit to give you strength and victory over temptation.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting The Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Question: how does a shark become that big? Answer: by letting a lot of bait go by. By swimming around nets. By taking a look at the hook. By looking forward, looking past the temptation. So James says, hey, when tempted, don't blame God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Say desire with me.
Desire.
Desire. God is the God of desire. God is pro-passion. Did you know that? If we didn't have the desire, basically, to eat, we'd die. To drink, we would die. To procreate, we wouldn't be here. I think you understand that. Yet, temptation is when I want to use a God-given desire in a God-forbidden way, and I do so. It's about desire. That's why I had you repeat the word. Desire. Desire. In the process of temptation, you come to a point where your desire asks your will you? And if your will says, I do, you have a marriage, then you have a bouncing baby called sin. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's kind of a bad name to name a baby. Let's name him sin. That's what happens in temptation. And then when sin is fully developed, it leads to death. Because I know what some of you are thinking. Oh man, I know someone living like hell. And they have everything. They've got the women, they got the money, they got the planes, they got the islands. All the returns aren't in yet. Sin has not reached puberty yet. Sin has not matured yet, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death. Death of a marriage, death of a family, death of a career, death of a church, death of a company, death of a team. The wages of sin is death, and we see it all the time. The devil is patient. So think about him. He rigs strategically. We didn't just go out for great white sharks. I hope you know that. The work behind it was unbelievable. The custom rod, the custom reel, the custom line, tying the best leaders, having a boat that's nimble, understanding the anchoring system, understanding the continental shelf, understanding the currents. It goes on and on. You've got to rig strategically. Also, not only do you rig strategically, we chummed seductively. We threw out oil, blood, and you know, the great whites love that. When blood's in the water, are you kidding me? That's how Satan works in all of our lives. He's just chumming. Oh, he's rigged up specifically to catch you and me. Specifically. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths as well. He's just chumming. I mean, he's been doing this for thousands of years. He fishes patiently. He waits and waits and waits. I've been skunked so many times in fishing, you wouldn't believe it. Hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, staring into the ocean. The enemy's that way too. He waits and waits. But notice something else he does. He then displays us publicly when he catches us. We take the sashimi, the bait. We feel the steel of the hook thrashing and splashing. We're pulling the boat around. Then he captures us, takes us to the taxidermist, and mounts us and stuffs us. I caught that one with pornography, Satan says. I caught her with materialism and poor discernment. I caught him through greed. And we think, man, if that's me, is my life over? No, your life isn't over. God practices catch and release. You give your life to him, he'll renew you. He will remake you and release you. Now, we're still gonna face the consequences of our behavior. He doesn't take those away. But we're new and afresh and can be used in a wonderful way. Temptation happens when you really boil it down. It happens in three different zones. In fact, let me make a broad brush statement. Every temptation is in one of these three categories. Everything you face and I face and ever will face in these categories. Number one, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, that means to do. What's that? It's whatever meets a physical desire in a way that competes with Christ's desire. Promiscuity, substance, too much drink, prescription, medication, out of whack. Then we have food, too much food, or we limit through anorexia, bulimia, and so forth. The lust of the flesh. Then we had the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes would be to have. That's the sinful desire to possess what we see or to have those things which have visual appeal. Possessions and things and that desire to acquire that's gone haywire. The Bible is not anti-things. Some of the most transcendently wealthy people you can imagine were some of the writers of the Bible. However, do we have things or do things have us? I mean, this could come into play, for example, when I'm paid, or when you close a deal, but you say to yourself, you know what? I did it. I'm a self-made man, and you put your stuff over God's. That's just a practical way if all that happens. Also, the pride of life would be the third zone. Pride is the precursor of all sin. We have to be prideful before any sin. That is the desire to be God versus the desire to serve God. That would be popularity. Do a straw poll. Talk to young people. What do you want to be? What do you want to do in your life? Most will say, I want to be famous. Pride. It is something that we don't see in ourselves. Pride. But that's how we're tempted. So the lust of the flesh says, will you? The lust of the eyes, will you? The pride of life, will you? And when we say yes, you've got sin. The enemy wants to keep you from being who God wants you to be. God, though, is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. God loves you. You matter to him so much that he secured your salvation by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again. He offers us eternal life. He offers us life and the power to live victoriously. So what's the upside of temptation? When temptation hits, or a trial or a test, number one, enjoyment. Ed, you've got to be kidding. Enjoyment? Yes, enjoyment. The decision for joy. James says in James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy. I like that. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, we need to realize the greatness of God. We need to lean in to the things of God, even though we don't always feel like it. Our thoughts many times have to tamp our feelings. Also, endurance, James says. You realize when you face a trial, a testing, a temptation, is an opportunity to build endurance, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Verse 3. Oh, that's good. And then empowerment. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to us all. It's the blessings of God. When we swim through these situations, we're going to live in the blessed place. Blessings, the word blessed means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. So here's some handles. As I said, look beyond the hook and understand that we need God-centration. I'm focusing on you, God, and what you have for me in all of these areas. Number two, look around your waters at the God-sequences. Look at the people here who are walking in victory. So we look beyond the hook, right? We look around your waters. Then we look within to the Lord, and that is Godfidence, faith, trust. So I'm going to tell you, you have the horsepower of the Holy Spirit, the gospel active and engaged in your life. God will do and wants to do amazing things.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We trust this message has not only enlightened you, but also uplifted you regarding the resources available to you as a Christian. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed delivers another exciting message designed with you in mind. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through The Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.